Composites Lounge, der Podcast mit Praxiswissen für Unternehmer, Geschäftsführer und Führungskräfte aus dem Bereich der Faserverbund-Werkstoffproduktion und Anwendung. Wir präsentieren dir regelmäßig Innovationen und anwendungsspezifisches Know-how, das deine Leichtbau- und Festigkeitsanforderungen löst. Präsentiert von deinem Host Ilkay Özgesoğlu aus Bayreuth. Welcome to Sense Expert. We are here at a deep tech company in the middle of Munich, the Munich Center, and I have the honor to have the CEO, Cornelia Bayer, with me, whom I met already so many times lately at JEC in Paris, where they had also their exhibition booth, and it was now time to really deep dive in their solution, in their system. While I will be talking to Arne Büttner and Alexander, we will talk there more on the technical side. We will have a big picture with Cornelia about how this business is running. So as a starter, Cornelia, maybe you can introduce yourself to our community. How did you come from such an exciting background into a composites and plastics industry?
Yeah, hi, first of all, nice meeting you all from the distance through the camera lens. Very happy to be here with Ilkay today. Let me give you a short summary of who I am and how did I come to the plastics composite industry. I took quite a roller coaster in my life, 25 years of being in business, so the storybook is nicely filled. But what is my background? Where do I came from or where do I come from? It's mainly business development and sales. This is how I started. I lived in many, many places throughout Europe, Amsterdam and London, and I moved to New York and San Francisco and Toronto, and I could develop and build up businesses. So business growth, innovation, intra-entrepreneurship is my passion, and the industries that I've seen over the many years that I'm in my working life is from hospitality over to finance. I was in the renewable sector, and then I was a founder myself. And this is when the startup and the venture world started to get interesting for me. I was a founder in a building material startup. So I learned a lot over the course of the last 13 years being in the startup world. And how did I come to the plastics industry? I would say it's like Virgin Mary to the child, but no, joke aside. Back in 2019 and 20, I did my executive MBA in Paris, and I was thinking, okay, what is next? I'm a person that likes challenges. I need to learn new things, but on the other side, I would like to give what I've learned and my expertise. And then, second is I was very interested in what is the German roots. There are family businesses all around. So I said, okay, combining my venture and startup experience and a family-oriented business, so this is how I found Netsch, or Netsch found me, and I have the honor to be on board since now August 21 and support Alexander as my partner in crime, so to say, as a managing director, being responsible for the sales and business development and the growth of the company as a running CEO currently.
Very exciting and very impressive CV that you have, Cornelia. And also congratulations for your power and your passion that you are bringing into this business. And you are certainly one of the key figures in this industry. And of course, if I may say that, it makes always a great inspiration also for other female leaders.
For sure, and I think I would like to highlight this point because I think it's not it's not normal today that you find someone in a traditional company like ours where the shareholders or owners take on and entrust the females, even though we say, okay, diversity and gender, and there's not a biggie anymore. No, it is. So with Paul Moritz deciding to give a female the opportunity to be a founder of one of their first startups, I think, I'm very honored.
Yeah, that's very good, and Nate, keep going. This is really great. We support you guys. Let me come now back to the special situation you have as a company. Cornelia, as you probably know, I'm also a coach in the innovation scene with the European Commission,
yes,
with the European Innovation Council, to be more precise. And I have to deal a lot with innovation-driven companies. Mm-hmm. Now, innovation-driven companies come in different shapes and forms. This can be an innovation that is carried out from the entity itself. Mm-hmm. It can be a startup company that has an innovation in its mind and is transferring it into an innovation and gets funded and supported by the European Commission, for example. Now, Netsch is a very old traditional standing company. I've made my way to your website and I've scrolled the history down and back and back, and nearly it had not found an end. It's such a long history. Have a look at it. And now you are, can we say, a startup, a venture startup,
venture, yes,
company venture. And how is it, if I may ask, from a cultural point of view? So you are innovation driven and you have to push technology further. And on the other side, there is a company that is long standing from the area where I live, from Upper Franconia, which of course we all know. And they have their milling and inspection business units. And now you're coming with a business unit that has AI, that has deep tech in its genes. How do this match?
Those two words fit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually very impressive. And it was very important personally when I took the decision to join the company. It's a mindset question. And the company, or the history of the Netsch Group itself, it's 150-year-old traditional business. And when you mentioned and referred to the business units that they have, and so we have those three main business units. It's the analyzing and testing, it's the grinding and dispersing business, and the pumps. And Netsch is a hidden champion. So, but how does a traditional company and now this new world of AI digitalization fits into the game of and what we are doing as Sense Expert? And the answer is very, very easy. We have, and the company is run by the fifth generation of Paul and Moritz Netsch, and I think they made an impression on me, and I said the mindset that they have and what they want to where they want to go forward is transforming the company. They know that they will not leave their kids a machinery company. So they know they have to evolve and develop and excel on the digital opportunities that are out there. So I think the start was by introducing the Netsch X incubator. So it's an entrepreneurship focused incubator from the Netsch business. And they supported us creating Sense Expert and legally spin off the company. So we were part of our sister company, the Netsch Analyzing and Testing, which are widely global known as a laboratory machinery company. So the technology that is behind Sense Expert is basically a transition. We have a core technology with the Netsch Analyzing Testing business, which is over 50 years old. And our running CTO, Dr. Alexander Kalupka, who was one of the, let's say, inventors of transitioning this core technology based on the demands he daily faced with the Netsch Analyzing and Testing clients. So how do we fit culturally? We have freedom. We can be agile. Shareholder value is important, but the brothers, the Netsch brothers, know that they have to take a step back, invest heavily to make something like us develop and explore and venture out. And this is the freedom that I found, and that's why I'm here.
Cornelia, you've talked a lot about that you are loving challenges.
Yes.
And let's talk projects. What is a very challenging project that comes up to your mind?
I wouldn't refer to a certain project, mm-hmm, but what certainly is a big, big challenge, or was a big challenge, now we are seeing a drift and a change because we have been around for 2.5 years now. Based on my experience as being a startup founder myself, when I started first back in 2013 with my first startup, we had the same issue like now, and that's why I think I could contribute some of my expertise and experience here. We are first mover. We introduce a technology with SenseExpert that, yes, has its roots way back in material science and blah, 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 and laboratory equipment, but it's so much more.
Yeah.
So the biggest challenge for us was to educate, and I quote a client that we have seen, oh, I didn't know that something like this exists.
Okay.
So, and this is the biggest challenge, I would say. If you have a technology on hand that nobody knows exists, when we look at our industry, in-mold sensor technology, which is one part of the story of our technology, right? Everyone knows, oh, pressure and temperature sensors, this is what you do. But no, this is not what we do.
Yeah.
We measure in-mold material characterization.
Yeah.
We see deviations when they occur. So how do you educate someone that doesn't know that something like this exists?
Mm-hmm.
So brand awareness, educational knowledge transfer. We had to start from scratch. And then you could ask, okay, but why are you blue and why are you SenseExpert? Why don't you go out with green and Netsch, reputation, blah, of a company that's 150 years old? We want to change. We are on a transition course with Netsch where we introduce also the digital transformation. So we made the decision, we are not leaving our roots, we are still Netsch, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And this is important for the customers to know, because startup and ventures, it's always like, oh, will they survive? Are they financed back, etc., etc. So yes, it's a challenge. And then I would like you ask for project. We are in different industries, as you know. So aviation is one of them. And aviation, it's very, very hard to get into that industry.
Yes. The certification, testing,
years until you validation. I would just as a supplier.
Long cycle. What?
Yeah.
Long sales cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we can proudly say we accomplished that. We have a client I can't name yet because we are still in the process. But we managed to be, without being certified, just proving what we can achieve, we are now in a serial production with them, and this is a milestone. So of course now we are seeing other aviation aerospace companies reach out to us. So this was very challenging to convince a company based on truth and numbers and results, and we are so proud of that.
So just to explain the community, what you're saying is very important with the aerospace industry. Of course there are airworthiness regulations available. Now your parts are probably not part of a plane, but they are in the process manufacturing a plane, right?
Our technology sits in the processes. So
yes.
We support the part manufacturing by overseeing how the material behaves in mold, how the interaction between third-party equipment or the machine itself happens. So, we can see deviations occur, but we not only see deviations occur, we can also optimize and increase the efficiency and productivity. And with that client, and you know the industry aviation, there are one big factor. First we had COVID, now we have contract fulfillment. The order books are full, crazy full. So they struggle with contract fulfillment. And now that we reduced massively by around 30% the cycle times, we could help this client a lot. So yes, we need to prove that they are still producing quality parts. I'm just saying Boeing, yeah, and all everything that is going on. So yes, everything is qualified and ensure that the parts have the highest quality, but still we could reduce the cycle times and with that increasing productivity like crazy.
Just to give us an idea, how is such a project managed? We don't need to go into the detail of this aerospace company, just take any company in general. How do you manage these processes, these projects? They come in, do you have a sales department? Do you have consultants in-house? I understand you have already over 30 people working with your company.
Yeah.
How can the customer imagine working with you?
First of all, we are part of the group of companies. So we're still very close with our sister company who manufactures our hardware. And maybe we can go later to that. What is the product about, like hardware and what is the digital part? So this is taken care of, all certified and everything. And we rely on this 50-year history of our sister company. But in-house, what do we do? We have the strong arm of product development, R&D, the teams itself who take over the technical part. So when a customer, let's say potential customer, is interested in the journey that we take on,
is, of course, we have a sales department who reaches out, explains the product, digital demos, or we go on site to look at the factory, how's the machine set up. And then we have the application service department. So they look at geometry of the tools. Where is the best position for the sensors? Some clients, because, I mean, we are in serial production, you don't stop just because SenseExpert is there. So how can we prove and build up a reputation that the client trusts us that this works actually before they interfere with their running processes? So the application service department that we have here are very, very skilled people from the industry who make pre-testing. So we get the material from the clients, we build up kinetic models, we show them what we already see, what is the potential. Of course, we can reference to clients that we have that have similar running processes. So this is what we show. We have a lot of data on hand. I mean, not because of only our sister company, but it's the market, but also of our own customers. So we are not, of course, showing customer data. It's process data. It's like our own measurements. So, and then once this is agreed on, we go actually and install. It's a plug and play, easy thing to do. We have our data science team who takes then the next steps. So we compare the kinetic, the simulation, what we expect to see, and what they think is happening when they start their processes. And then we actually install the sensors, and that goes very quick. Switch on, that's it. Then we have the cloud connectivity, and then we compare, they run their process, they start to produce and manufacture the first parts, and then we compare the real data, the real processing, and how it, what it happens with the simulation, with the kinetic models. Based on this, the machine learning models will be built up, and then we see and create the most efficient process for the client. This takes approximately 3 to 4 weeks. It's not that we need, like other AI companies, you hear, oh, data, data, data. No, it needs maybe 50 parts and then we are good to go. So we have a strong data science team, and I think this is the big plus when you look at what is out there, software providers, consultancies, other, let's say, service providers who are offering technology. We have here people that are from the industry, they know materials, but they know AI. So the combination of this skill set, and took us a long time until the 35 people were found, now currently 35, we are still growing. So internationalization becomes evident at the moment with North America. But yeah, so the people that we have are amazing. And I'm, yeah, I can very proudly say it's not one person that runs a company. So being here, I'm honored to work with this talent.
Project management is an important part of your business. Yes. Let me dive a bit deeper into data science. My first question, because I don't know, how important is data science today at our composites industry? Do they take it serious? If they don't take it serious, what would be your recommendation?
I think we can't do without anymore. So data, and the data is just not used. There's so much untapped potential, but we are human beings. We can't process all this data that is on hand. So I give you an example, and digitalization is nothing new. Industry 4.0, I don't know for how many years already. So we see machine manufacturer offering data digital solutions like cloud here, cloud there. Then we have sensor hardware companies offering their clouds. So now you have the client in the middle who gets data from his machine, from peripheral equipment, then from other sensors, etc., etc., and then they're left alone. So why do we need data science? Someone needs to evaluate the data and turn that into return on investments. And this is where we are strong at. So yes, we have our own sensors. Yes, we have our own measurement equipment to analyze and evaluate data. But the blue box that that you know from our, we call it edge device, it's basically a single source of truth, because we connect us with all data sources and can holistically display and create value adds for the clients. So data science is necessary to take this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of data points and to turn them into something what the clients can use.
So today they are not using it to its fullest potential because what? People are lazy or we because they are not capable of transforming these data?
I'll give you an example. We have a client we can name, a tier one in the automotive industry, Zeller Friedrichshafen. He had, or they have a huge team of data scientists. And they had a process and their goal was to create the most efficient process. And they have 42, I think it was, don't take me serious on the 42, maybe it was 35 or whatever, but a lot of amount of criterias that were influencing the process. So a process parameters of 42 different indicators. So they asked the team to do this or create this most efficient process based on the data. Mm-hmm. They failed. Mm-hmm. So this is, that was our journey. So we started with them and we showed them in a very, very short amount of time with one person of our data science team how to create the most efficient process. And this is what we did.
Congratulations on that one.
Thank you.
So community, we make a hard cut and we are changing the topic. I've seen that you have been called into a panel during Jack World. Mm-hmm. What was the panel about? Why did they call you on the panel? And what was your feeling about the topic?
I think I would like to refer to what was evident at CHECK this year.
Yeah.
And there were two points.
Yes.
So one was hydrogen market, mm-hmm. so the growth in the hydrogen market. Yeah. But the other was also the topic around sustainability, digitalization.
Absolutely.
So huge challenge, what is coming our way. So and when you look at the dominating factors in the industry, what we are facing, lack of skilled workers, cost pressure, sustainability, mm-hmm. and what else was the topic around contract fulfillment. So Industry 4.0, I think that was, I can say, high level what this panel was about. And seeing the change in materials taking center stage. Of course, dominated by sustainability and being more sustainable. So novel techs need to be there and will make the difference. So to analyze and to see how data can be transferred and converted into something else, you need those kind of tools. So I think that was the reason mm-hmm. why we got invited. Mm-hmm. I took the stand because I like to talk.
Okay.
No, but honestly aside, I think it was more educating and enlightening industry that there is technology out there that can see material deviations when they occur in mold, which until now was not there. And with sustainability and the recycling materials, and we have the big topic about the EU Green Law deal. So yes, the demand, we need to do something, but nobody helps you, and how can I do it? So the challenges that we will face in manufacturing because of the uncertainties, this is why I think the panel was there to introduce not just us, but different kind of players. What can be done, what technologies are out there, from robotics to AI to software. Was very interesting panel, yes.
Okay, so you contributed to these topics
about the material deviations and what kind of technologies out there to actually see those deviations and measure them and turn them mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. something valuable.
How was it received? Did you get a lot of questions from the audience? Was it interactive?
I think it was more absorbing.
Okay.
So people are always shy at these panels, yeah?
Yes,
so nobody
yes.
Is yes. standing up, oh, I have a question. So, yeah. But I think it was well perceived.
Yeah.
The feedback that we got through social media, LinkedIn, yeah. and people that connected afterwards was
good. Good, yes. Well received. Well, Jack World, of course, is our pilgrimage. Yeah, we go there every year.
Yes.
And you've been there. What other highlights have you planned for 2024 mm-hmm. and maybe beyond? Where could people, if they listen to this, see you, watch you, talk to you on events?
Yeah, of course, the last 2 years, we really identified what are the most important fairs, mm-hmm. where do you need to be, mm-hmm. where do you meet the people that you want to meet, and of course, check from the competence side, but then we also go and see the Chemex in September, and I think this year, San Diego, beginning of September.
Okay.
So we are going to be there then. I'm flying out next week in preparation for the MPE, the largest plastic show in Orlando. Then the traditional ones. We have Fakuma, the K shows. I think next year mm-hmm. Coming up again. This is always the highlight.
Okay.
But we also explored other events like in Mexico, the Plasimagen. I have been mm-hmm. last year. So we are looking at different kinds of one. I think the fairs that are very interesting for us, and we will explore them this year and next year, are product-related exhibitions. Mm-hmm. Where, for example, aerospace, Seattle was in the beginning of the year, the PNAA, mm-hmm. so where you see actually products displayed, so players, tier ones, or OEMs showcase their products, and here we can make an impact. We can talk to them, we can exchange with them, not just because we want to sell, of course, our mm-hmm. technology, no, but also to understand better the needs, the market needs. What is the feature that we have to develop in the future? to really be in exchange with this with this customer.
I hear a bit from your explanations a bias towards Europe and United States or North America. When you go to Canada next week, yes. you mentioned now Mexico, United States. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
You could say we are a German company, so explore Europe is big enough. I wouldn't say Europe is behind, the interest is there. Everyone we talk to, the interest is there. What we see as a challenge, and this is not so much in North American market, is the topic around cloud. Cloud technologies, I have to store my data. No. Yeah, and this is something where we see, okay, it needs longer time to develop and convince people, educate them that we are not taking any, let's say, recipes. So there's nothing secretive about storing the data. Mm. I think that there will be a change because we can't go without. We can't go without cloud. It's not possible.
So is the North American market a little further?
Yeah. Or has they're more open.
A different mindset. But you think there will be a spillover to the European markets, and that's the reason why you continue on the European markets strongly with your product solutions?
Yes, for sure. And we have German clients. It's not like that we don't see those German clients increase the numbers. Yeah. No, for sure.
So you know my community is very much composites related. Tell us a bit about Fakuma and K. K, liebe community, is the Kunststoffmesse, if you pronounce it in the longer way, which is in Düsseldorf, October next year. Yeah. Fakuma will be, I guess, this year in September.
I think it was around September.
So you will be attending as an exhibitor both there. Explain us, composites guys, do we miss something on these shows, or would you say this is really injection molding, plastics industry, very much focused on polymers?
Composites is still, we do see the shift more towards thermoplastic composites. Mm-hmm. But we often see our clients in the composite still thermo setting.
Okay.
So quality, high performance parts, right. Expensive parts. And here the quality control and the stability around needs to be higher. Yeah. Because you don't want to waste resources. Yes. So this is why it's for us interesting to be at these fairs and people reaching out to us. Mm-hmm. So Fakuma especially, for us diversifying, it's not that we are only concentrating on the composites. We are open, we are thermosets, we are elastomers, we are talking thermoplastics now with the recycling industry coming. So the composite field, I have the feeling at least, they are more open towards process technologies. Mm-hmm. So it's an easy playground for us. So and it's a smaller community. It's more familiar. The people know us already. We have a lot of supporters in the industry with Composite United, the Composite World. So I think this is more home turf, let's say.
Yes. Now you say Composites United. I'm seeing with one of my eyes some awards. Can you take these awards and we put them on the desk? Thanks for bringing your industry awards. So let's go both of them through. This one I don't know. Best of Industry Award. Category Measuring and Testing Technique in English, I would say. Mm-hmm. NEDG Process Intelligent. So tell us about this one and what was awarded here.
Yeah, that was the industry award for really concentrating on our measurement technology. Yeah. So the AI fancy ML stuff was not really a part of it, but what we could contribute and how we can evaluate materials in mold. So this was for them the highlight. So in the category of the measurement and process technology, we got awarded.
And is this an association or is this an exhibition?
Ooh. So this was awarded by, somehow media related award, industry awards, where they, award the companies in certain kind of industry categories where we won this one.
My critics on this award is it's heavy.
Very heavy.
I mean, this is like 10 kilogram maybe. Yeah. This is so heavy, incredible heavy.
It's not lightweight construction.
No, it's not lightweight, for sure. So, and then we go to AVK.
Yeah, AVK, we got awarded for as an innovation prize. So we were fresh on the market and we got also for processes.
So this is 2022.
And this was
last year in 2023, end of 2023.
So you continue with your awards every
year.
Are you also a member of AVK?
Oh, we are. Yeah. And they supported us when we. I remember when we launched our company. AVK was part of our launch video.
Nice. Yeah. Because AVK will be also the co-partner of Czech Forum Dach in Stuttgart. Will you be there?
No, not this year.
Not this year. Okay. But maybe visiting if time allows.
Most probably.
Back to Sense Expert then. Cornelia, now we've talked about your marketing, your business development endeavors, digital analytics. What do you have on your agenda? What is the focus for the future? What is, besides the market entry, you are looking in the United States, North American markets, European markets, what is on your focus? Maybe product development wise?
If you ask the CEO now, of course it's all about strategy. It's all about, you have these two words, right?
Yeah.
So when we talk about startups, we talk about either exit driven or we talk about sustainable growth.
Explain me both of them, please.
Okay, so exit driven means you create something where you already know 18, 25 months sold. So you create the minimum that is necessary to attract the first kind of clients.
Is this window dressing?
Yes, this is window dressing. Exactly, this is somehow window dressing. But we are Netsch, and Netsch is still 100% in family-owned hands.
Yes.
So they are only interested in sustainable growth. And this is now our personal goal. We want to become the fourth business unit, meaning we need 60 million of revenue to officially name us the fourth business unit. So this is our goal. But what are we focusing on? I mean, traditionally and historically grown, we have a thermoset materials. Yeah. So this is where we started. I mean, this is thermoplastics you can reuse, right? So thermosetting materials were always the challenging one, the high performance, the high cost parts. But EU Green Deal is coming. We need to highly concentrate on the thermoplastic and the recycling materials. So this is a strong focus point from the product development side. But also a lot of clients reach out. I mentioned hydrogen market, the hydrogen market, $5.9 billion market. We see a lot of problems with the curing process. It needs to be very, very slow. So a lot of untapped potentials, winding, so this continuous process extrusion, we haven't covered yet. So this is what we are highly focusing at the moment, to really also go into that market, to serve the clients, because the need is there. They are reaching out to us. And then what else is on our agenda? Then we have a different kind of product offering. We are also in the sewer rehabilitation market, where we use our curing technology to oversee if liners are cured.
Yes.
So with this high frequency technology, it's a contactless technology. So the contactless sensor, still dielectric measurement principle, but it's not in contact with the material. So now we have the possibility to explore new markets like the medical, the food market, but also where it's a high frequency measurement needed.
Yeah.
So, this is on our focus. If we say focus, the clients that we have currently, they will benefit the more clients we have, because everyone learns from each other.
And you can transfer those knowledge to other markets, yes.
We would like to build up this community. And for me personally, as a CEO, of course, strategic development, we see partnerships, machine companies, raw material suppliers reaching out to us, talking about potential integration of our technology. So there's a lot in stock. It will be busy.
You have a lot of on your bucket list. That's right.
Yes.
But I like that. And I like the idea of transferring those skills. Now you're coming from, for example, the aerospace industry, and now you're helping infrastructure applications to apply some of the knowledge. Maybe it's not one-on-one, but at least you've learned some of it. Now we're coming closer to the end of our interview, Cornelia. So to our community, if you have a final say, what would be your final call to action after they've watched this video? Give them a call to action, please.
My call to action is, now that you found out a little bit about our company, do not hesitate to contact us. There's a lot of potential that we most probably can also do for you. And we live by a motto. I mean, we see ourselves a little bit like a thought, not a little bit. We are a thought leader in a kind of sense where we say we developed a technology that is a single source of truth. So the motto better together and living this community, what we realize and a lot of our industry stakeholders do realize as well, there's not one player that has it all. So working together, supporting customers in a customer-centric way, this is the way forward. So if you know someone that is in need of a process technology, we are here and we would be really honored to support you guys out there. So do not hesitate. And I would like to finish with a quote if I can. Mm-hmm. We have a client in the semi-finished composite manufacturing who said, and his words, he said, Sense Expert is the technology of the future.
Oh, okay.
And this is how I would conclude. And thanks for listening today. And we are looking forward to welcoming you in our community.
They can call you also up on LinkedIn?
Yes,
you're also on LinkedIn.
We are on LinkedIn, but also visit our website, senseexpert.com, and you get more information
over there. Thank you so much. Thanks for watching, community.
Bye.
Der Composites Launch Podcast gefällt dir? Dann empfehle diesen bitte weiter. Du willst noch mehr Tipps zu Composites oder Sichtbarkeit in LinkedIn? Vernetze dich mit Ilkay Özgesolu auf LinkedIn und trete der exklusiven LinkedIn-Gruppe Composites Launch bei. Dort wirst du dich mit Gleichgesinnten über die neuesten Technologietrends austauschen. Tschüss und auf Wiedersehen!